Best-selling author Malcolm Gladwell is known for taking an unconventional look at conventional wisdom in his best-selling books, Blink, The Tipping Point, and Outliers. In his latest work, David and Goliath, which is out in paperback this week, Gladwell takes on the famous story of the shepherd boy David who takes up the challenge to fight the giant Goliath. And even though he's much smaller, he doesn't have his weapons or his armor. He defeats Goliath using a slingshot. In his book, Gladwell makes the argument that David's victory wasn't improbable at all. He argues that our assumptions about power and advantage need to change. When I spoke with him in October of 2013, he explained that idea further.
I was trying to ask the question about whether we have a good understanding of what an advantage is. And the sort of argument of the book is that lots of things that look like advantages aren't, and lots of things that look like disadvantages may have more than silver linings. They may have all kinds of positively unintended consequences.
Do you think people don't understand that?
Well, I think it's always – I think we do make mistakes. So, for example, a big chunk of the book is about – is a chapter that's about crime and about what happened in California with three strikes. And there was a case where I think a misunderstanding about the nature of – power led to a really grievous public policy that after 20 years of three strikes last year, the state of California finally said enough and recognized its mistake. And then I talk about the British experience in Northern Ireland, where I think they made a similar kind of error. So I do think that we make these kinds of mistakes, even though we may understand the idea in theory. When it comes to the specifics of figuring out how to act in certain situations, I do think sometimes it's worth taking a step back and re-examining some of these questions.
The error that you're talking about here is sometimes that authorities think that by using their force, they will get the outcome they want, when in fact sometimes by not using their force, they might get a better outcome.
Yeah, so that half of the book is about Davids, about underdogs who are more powerful than they seem. And the other half of the book is about Goliaths, about powerful people who are not as powerful as they seem. And so the chapter, the California example, is on the Goliath side of the ledger, that there was a perception in the state of California that by enlisting the full authority of the state, they could make a sizable headway against their crime problem. And that assumption proved to be misguided and had actually quite tragic consequences for the state, they now realize. So, yeah, the idea was the thing you think is your greatest asset, the fact that you can pass laws doubling the amount of prison time a criminal will face, or the fact you can lock up, you can build prisons and lock people up, is actually not nearly as useful a way of combating crime as you think. And I contrast that with far more successful strategies that were used in New York City, which didn't involve the state flexing its muscles.
You also talk about perceived disadvantages, and you talk about David Boies, the famous lawyer who has dyslexia, which would be, I guess, perceived as a disadvantage, but in fact makes him much stronger because he becomes a better listener. You talk about students who go to Harvard and think that that is a big advantage for their future employment, but in fact maybe they are, if they're not at the very top of their class, worse off than students who go to schools a little lower down the list. I wonder, Malcolm Gladwell, what you make of the criticism that your examples are just as cherry-picked as the ones that you're arguing against.
Yeah, I hear that from time to time. The problem with that argument is that rarely do people give me an example of evidence I'm supposed to have cherry-picked. You know, when you make an argument, we evaluate the evidence and then we choose the evidence we feel is the most significant. And that's what I'm doing in my books. And I, you know, there are people who make arguments that maybe I've chosen the wrong evidence. That's fine. I don't think that. But I don't think I should be singled out as the only person in the world who selects from a lot of different arguments the ones that he finds most persuasive. I think that's what human beings do, isn't it?
Let me ask you about one piece of criticism. There's a big piece about the book in the New York Times by Joe Nocera, who ends with, maybe what David and Goliath really illustrates is that it's time for Malcolm Gladwell to find a new shtick. What is it like to get that kind of criticism, and how do you respond?
Well, you know, a review is an election with one voter. So I don't let it bother me. I mean, my books have always gotten a wide range of reviews. I have plenty of people who like the books that I write, and so I don't I know Joe and have enormous respect for him, and I'm perfectly happy to have him express his opinion.
How do you respond to what he says?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't. It's funny. I don't take any of that particularly seriously or personally. I mean, maybe he should stop reading my books, so he's not so annoyed next time. I write my books because I'm interested in things, and there are questions I want to explore. And if some people are willing to go along for the ride, and some others don't, and it's a free country.
Malcolm Gladwell is author of David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants. Malcolm Gladwell, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.